been looking forward to opening the scriptures with you whenever I have a speaking arrangement. What I like to do is first pray to God that he would show me what needs to be shared, what needs to be spoken, and if it's appropriate for the people who would be in the audience. And obviously there's things in your life that just I would want to be able to know. I want to be able to hit, to reach your heart with just my word. So it has to be him. It has to be him doing it. So even a few weeks ago, as I was preparing to speak elsewhere, the Lord had given me this word. And in the thought that he was giving me, I brought it back to him and said, Lord, is this the one for that group of people? And as I continued to study, as I continued to be in the word, he made it clear to me that no, this one was saved for the people of Bristol. So I trust that this word is for you. So something, a thought, an idea, a question that the Lord has been putting on my heart is something that may seem simple, something that we should all have, yet the Lord has been showing me maybe it's the cause for why some of us may feel stuck or some of us may not be progressing or growing in the things that he has the way we ought to. And the question is this: do you love the Word of God? Do you delight in it? Do you treasure it? Do you seek it out? Do you at times even wrestle with it? Do you hunger and thirst after it? Do you fight for it? Do you get on your knees before the Lord and pray that he shows you the truths and the mysteries of it? Do you have that authentic desire for it? Do you love the Word of God? Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to start looking at a maybe more well-known parable about the sower and the seed. Trying to think about the things that the Lord is speaking to us are the things he wants to pour out in our lives. And are we even receiving it? Are we even in a position to understand the things that God is saying? Are we desiring his word in our life? Or are we confused into thinking that just because we're Christians or that we've been at this for a little while that we're good? So here, the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jump down to verse 16. It says, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and at once with joy receives it. Yet has he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which also bears fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let's look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for your holy scriptures breathed out by you. There is so much power in your word. Lord, I pray that we would be people who delight in it. I pray that we would love it, that we would not be deceived into thinking we are something that we're not. I pray that you would just speak through your word today, that we would become like the good soil, that we would let it sink in, and that we would be doers as well. But Lord, we just want to be caught up in your presence in this moment. We want to make room for you to do what you would have to do. Touch each heart in this room the way only you know how. Do your thing, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. So it's easy to hear a passage like this, and sometimes in our self-righteousness, we instantly think we're the good seed, or even that we're the one planting the seed, and we move on to the next chapter. But if you look at how many different variations there are of receiving the word, you may be able to, in humility, be able to see that at one point or another, we were each in one of these places. And sometimes it changes from day to day, where one day I may be the stony place, and then the next day maybe the good soil. But don't think that just because you're a believer and that maybe you've been at this for a little while, that you're instantly qualified as, I'm just the good soil. So Jesus is delivering this parable, saying, hear this word. And the first one you see is that some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. That before it even took root, it was already gone. There was no room for the word to even get into it. There have been various studies that show that the way our mind is worked is that over 90% of our thoughts from day to day are exactly the same as they were the day before. So instantly, you only have the smallest amount of room in your mind to hear new information. And we live in a world of information constantly at our fingertips. However, we do not live in the wisdom age, because we do not soak it up in the ways that the Lord has. So we have such a small room to learn new things each day and to recall them, and we're designed that way for a reason. But what happens and what came to mind is this one, where as soon as the word is cast out, it's already gone. There's no room for it to even set in. And some of us, even though we're physically sitting here in church today, may already be filled with other things and other cares of this world before we even hear the word at 11:25. That if you're waking up first thing in the morning and you go instantly to what's in the news, what's in the media, what's this person doing, what are my friends up to today, before your day even starts, before you even get into the word, you're already full. You're already at capacity. You have made no room for the Lord to work. And I wonder if that's any of us sometimes, where maybe we have a thought that, oh, it would be nice to know more things about Scripture, but we're already starting at a disadvantage because we're not preparing our soil. We're not preparing our hearts and minds for what He has to say. So then it doesn't even matter what the speaker has to share or how eloquently he speaks. There's no room for anything to set in anyway. So that's the first one, where before it could even take root, it's already snatched up and it's gone. Number two is where some fall upon stony places. They had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. These are those that maybe the word hits them for a moment, but then as soon as something comes in, it's gone. It's surface level. And I think Sometimes the enemy will try to trick us and confuse us that maybe this is all there is to the passage, or this is all there is to being a Christian. It's just right here. And the Lord can go so much deeper, and maybe he's calling you to go so much deeper in your situation, yet you're just surface level. You're just staying right there, deceived, thinking that this is all as far as I could go. I wonder if in this season the Lord is calling you to go deeper. I was thinking, as this has different types of soil and what can set in, I was thinking about my job at the golf course, where I have to go around and dig the different holes for the pin placement around the course. And each time the soil is a little bit different. If it's really hot and dry out, it's really firm. And no matter how hard you push down, it just doesn't want to go sometimes. And you really have to dig at it and get deep. And it's difficult to get deep because it's just that dry ground. And that's what this reminded me of is, yeah, it's there. There's a heart attitude towards it. There's a reason to believe and reach for it, but it's not sinking down deep enough. It's just staying right in the surface and not getting to accomplish what that word is truly meant to do. So that's the second one, is hearing the word of the Lord, but not being able to go down deep enough to where once something comes up, it just vanishes, it goes away pretty quickly. And that's what it says when Jesus is explaining it back down to verse 20. It says, he that receives the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and at once with joy receives it, yet he has no root within himself. It's almost like someone who, say you come to church on a Sunday and you hear a message and you're all excited about it and, oh, that was so great. And then by Tuesday, you completely forgot about it. And see, the problem here isn't that at once you receive it with joy, because that's a great thing that it sparks your attention and you got it. But how often are you taking the word being preached and then bringing it back before the Lord, going a little bit deeper with it? Or is it simply, you know what, I heard it once, that's good enough for me? A lot of the times, when we see these surface level things, maybe we just have a verse or two that we like to go back and, oh, these are my favorite verses that I could always go to. And you come to find out, if you read the story in context or the whole chapter and you have a deeper view of it, you realize that that verse takes on a different meaning. But sometimes when we just see just the singular verse, and there's nothing wrong, sometimes the Lord is going to have a word that's just a word or a thought or a verse that's just going to captivate you, that you're just going to be stuck on for so long. And that's fine. So it's not about quantity, but it's about when the Lord gives you a thought and an idea, can you go back to him and say, is this really what it is? And a lot of the times the Lord will give you an idea that's not quite full yet, that's not quite at its full potential yet, just to see if you are going to go back to him and go deeper with it. Sometimes that first thought that comes into your mind isn't the right one. It's not the full, complete picture yet. It's just a piece. And maybe the Lord is seeing, how deep are you willing to go? And you see, when you don't bring it, when you don't capture it, when you don't get it into your heart, no matter how good of a word it may be, once something comes up that challenges it, once tribulation, once persecution comes, because of the word, you're offended by it. And now it's gone again. And you got to start all over. So that's the second one. Third one is, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Or verse 22, which says, he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This one, going back to the golf course reference and digging the holes, sometimes the ground can be too soft to where when you dig down, you could go deep, but it actually makes more of a mess of things. And this is kind of that same idea where it's the soil is almost too fertile to where it believes the word of God, but it also believes everything else that comes its way. So as you can see here, not only did the word grow, but all the thorns grew with it. All the weeds grew up too. That's like somebody who is open to the things of the Lord, but then they're also open to every other thing that the world is throwing out there. And now they have this warped idea that you could believe Jesus, but you also could believe all these other things too. And that's something that I think in our culture today is almost like a trendy thing to be spiritual. But the thing is, if you're looking for things and you're trying to be spiritual outside of Jesus Christ, you're going to come across spirits, evil spirits. So if you're going to be a spiritual person without Jesus Christ, you're going to have some spiritual things that you don't want a part of. So that's where this word comes in, where this person is believing the things or is open to the things of the Lord, but is also open to everything. And there's no filtering, there's no checking. It's like one who is like, oh, it's cool that you believe in Christ, but it's also cool if you believe in these other things as well. And it ends up choking the word because there's only one and true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one true word. And when you contradict that with Jesus plus this, this, and this, those things are going to choke out the true word. So be careful about just allowing anything in. So you saw those first three, and now it says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understands it, which also bears fruit, bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So that's this good ground, able to be worked, able to hear, able to understand it, absorb it, lock it in. Thinking back to digging the holes, when you have the soil that cuts down perfectly and you can dig down in there, it becomes easy to mold and work with and get the ground back to exactly how it's supposed to. And when thinking about the word of the Lord is, are you able to be moldable, to be able to change to the things of the word, not just being cast to and fro by every whim or every new doctrine, like those where the thorns choke them out, but can you soak in the things of the Lord and be able to be molded in the way that he has designed you to be? So the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it. It's so easy, I think, sometimes when you think you got the word or you think you have an understanding of the scriptures to just rush right to bearing fruit. And if you notice, there's an order to things here in the word where it's first being the good ground, hearing the word, understanding it, and then it's bearing fruit. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in what our ministry is, or what our gifts are, or our talents, or how is the Lord using me, or what's he going to do in my life? And you're wondering why things aren't happening and why you're not bearing fruit. And could it be that you've skipped the first step of understanding the word? Again, go back. Do you love the word? Or is it just something that when things get tough, oh, maybe I'll use it as a tool. Maybe I'll go back to a few verses here and there, but it's more important that I serve in this capacity. If you're not understanding the word, if you're not taking it to heart, if you're not seeking it out on your own, your ministry doesn't matter yet. Look at the order of things and understand the word first. Desire the things of the word first. And then you're going to bear fruit, bring it forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What came to mind, and kind of a weird example, but I used to have this video game back when I was younger. And the purpose of the game was to build a city. And at the beginning, you had a certain amount of money. And what you would do is you would build up the city, the different structures and whatnot, and you would use your resources to try to build the city. And you got to a point in the game where once you had built enough that it would change over to where the city was actually making you money and people would actually come to stay. But for me, I never really understood the concept, and I would go through all my money and then never get to that second stage of the game, and that's all I would play, and then I would have to constantly keep restarting it over because I couldn't figure it out. And what came to mind is I think that's sometimes what we do with the scriptures is we have this like first level understanding of what the Lord is doing, and we've seen him work in different areas of our life, and we think that's it, without ever progressing to what he really has. So we constantly stay stuck in this idea or these mindsets or this way of life into thinking that this is the Christian walk and that's it, without ever realizing that the Lord can take you so much further than you could even imagine. So sometimes when it says that they bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, some of you aren't even in fruit-bearing stages yet, and you think you are. But you haven't yet gone back and say, you know what, do I really love the word of the Lord first? Or is it just something I've been taught that, oh, I'm a Christian, I should read my Bible 10 minutes a day? Or I should look to the scriptures, but you know what, praying is more important, or serving is more important, or whatever it may be. Sometimes we twist the idea and just we don't give enough emphasis on what the scriptures truly are. So now we're confused and we're wondering why we've been stuck in a situation for so long. And I think the reason for a lot of it is because the Lord is asking you, do you really love the word? Let's flip to Isaiah 55 before we move on. It's another common verse, but let's see it in scripture. Isaiah 55, just one verse. Verse 11. Actually, we'll start in verse 8. So multiple verses. So verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. So my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." This verse really struck me differently when reading these passages this time, because I was thinking about how most of us want a word from the Lord, right? We would love, in whatever situation it is, for the Lord to just speak into our situation. I think we have a grasp and an understanding that he could do miraculous things, that there's power in his word, and that he could do it. And we wonder why the Lord hasn't given me a word yet. And what came to mind reading this is that once the Lord speaks the word, it will not return to him void. So maybe if the Lord isn't giving you a word, it's because if he spoke it into your life, you're not in a position yet to receive it, to let it prosper the way that it's supposed to. So if you're thinking about what type of soil you are, or what kind of state of mind you're in right now, and you haven't received a word, maybe it's because the Lord is trying to get you to make room for him first so that he can put his word in your life. Then you could bear fruit. There's an order to it. I think that's the reason why a lot of us are staying in the same position over and over and over again, is because the Lord has the word. He knows exactly how to answer your situation. He knows exactly what you need for it, but you're not in a position yet to handle it, for that word to not return to him void. He's not going to do that to his word. Do you love his word? Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is to the people of Israel who have been wandering for a while now. And it's kind of a recap of what's been going on. And hear what the word has to say. So Deuteronomy chapter 8. And read a few verses starting in verse 1. It says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live, and multiply, and go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he may make thee known that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live." Here you see what the Lord was doing over the 40 years in humbling the people of Israel. He was testing. He was trying to see what was in their heart. He could have spoken in any moment and said, "Now's the time to go get the promised land." But instead, he was taking his time to make the people truly understand where their heart was at. And he was testing them so that the Lord would know their heart as well. And it's interesting to me how in this passage where it connects to not living by bread alone and the manna, because the Lord was showing that he has the power to feed them. They were hungry. He had the power to feed them with something that they've never even seen before. That wasn't the issue. God has the power to do things and to intervene in situations in your life with resources that you do not know of. He could do that in any moment. Yet he was showing them that he didn't need how you think your situation needs to be answered. He could do it anyway, but he was making them understand that it was me and my word that was doing it. I think so often, too, we think that God has to answer a certain way, or we have like this idea or mental list where we think that when we pray, God's going to answer it these certain ways. And God has power to answer it in any way that he wants to. But maybe the reason that he's not answering it right away is because he wants you to know that it's him doing the answering and not the resource in which he's doing it. I think that's why, too, if you look through the scriptures, if you're someone who thinks, "Oh, I have something going on and I wish there was just a better answer in scripture," or "Why isn't this specifically highlighted for this topic?" or you know what, the Bible doesn't contain everything because there's X, Y, and Z that's out in the world and I can't find it in my Bible. And I think the Lord purposely did that so that you wouldn't rely on how he answers things, but instead on who is answering them. That it is him, that he's the one in control. So often we pray for things like healing when we need to know the healer. So often we pray for things, for provision, when we need to know the provider. We pray for comfort, but we need to know the comforter. And sometimes the Lord is answering it in ways that we don't understand so that we would stop looking at the cares of this world and focus back on him. The word of the Lord is enough the way it is. Let's turn over to John for a little bit. We'll look at a few verses, how John begins his book and then how he ends it. Let's see if we can apply it a little bit. But in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the beginning was the Word. That it was always there. That the Lord Jesus was always there. He always embodied the things of the Father, of the Lord, to where he was going to make his word dwell among us as flesh. So again, ask the question, do you love the word? Do you love the things of Christ? Are you seeking him? Are you knowing him more by spending time in the word? Because he is the word. So that's how John starts the book. We'll go over John 17. Which we were at this morning around the table. And we'll just read one verse here. John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Do we really believe that? Do we really own that? That the word of the Lord can cleanse, that the word of the Lord is the only one that could save, that it's the only one that is truth. And if you're looking for truth in your situation, where are you going? Are you going to the many tools and instruments of information out there? Are you going to the truth that's in here? Remember, you only have so much capacity of understanding and learning new things. What are you being filled with? And then John chapter 20. I've always loved these verses. So simple, but just very powerful. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Verse 31. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And you wonder sometimes, again, that question of why isn't this situation or that situation recorded in Scripture? What am I supposed to do with it? Should I be going to other sources as well to find the answers to the things of life? And I love how John puts this in there, basically saying that everything that's written in here is enough. Do you believe that the word of the Lord is enough, that it's truth, and that it has everything that you need? I think so often we want a word from the Lord, but we want it our way, and we're wondering why we're not getting that word. or we just complain or even just get discouraged and say, why isn't the Lord speaking to me lately? Or why isn't the Lord giving me a word? I don't know about you, but my Bible has over 1,300 pages of the Lord speaking His word. His word is truth. Do we go and get that word? That, you know what? Maybe I'm in a situation right now where I'm not seeing clearly, where I don't have a response to this one. I don't know how to handle this situation. Am I going and fighting in the scriptures to get this word? Because He has it. It's all there. Go to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy 3, pick it up in verse 14, says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See here that the scripture is breathed out by God, where it's given by inspiration of God, where it's God giving His word to us, and it's enough. Do we love the word? Do we believe that it's enough? Do we apply it to our situations? Are we searching to go deeper in our understanding, knowing that the Lord has made these promises? And if I haven't seen them in my life yet, maybe I need to go a little bit deeper. I need to keep going. I need to keep seeking it out. I need to have that assurance that this word is enough. There's going to be many situations where it doesn't seem like it. And that's the Lord saying, do you still trust me? Do you still know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word poured out by the Lord? The Lord is waiting to give you His word. But He's not going to do that to His word if it's going to return void because you're not ready for it yet. There is power in the scriptures. There's power to save. There's power to cleanse. There's so many other things that you could go and see that the word is encompassing. Go back to Matthew 13 for a few minutes as we kind of try to tie some of this stuff together. Something that kept coming up as I was reading and studying and preparing for this is this idea in baseball that's called keep the line moving. That if you're not in the position to deliver the winning hit or to drive in runs or there's no one on base or whatever the case may be, if you're not in the position to drive in those out there to keep the line moving, to try to get on base, keep a runner advance into scoring position, or stay out of double play, whatever it may be, just keep the line moving so that the next can keep going and going. And it kept coming up in different ways for the scriptures. Because I think sometimes we either have a thought in our mind or there's a situation out there with dealing with something or someone, and we don't see clearly yet how to resolve it. And our first instincts in our own self-righteousness is, oh, I have a thought, I'm going to go jump in. And I think the Lord is showing us through His word that there's a time to just keep the line moving, to keep your head down, to keep reaching towards the scriptures, to keep drawing towards him and keep waiting with perseverance for that right time. Just like those verses about judging where it says, first, take out the log in your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take out the speck in your brother's eyes. If you don't see clearly yet how to react or how to respond to a situation, if you're not seeing clearly through God's word what his answer is, keep the line moving. You don't always have to jump in and defend things if you haven't first understood it for yourself yet. And I think that's why it's so important in verse 23 where it says, he that heareth the word and then understands it and then start, it's just going to naturally start bringing fruit in your life. Sometimes we do things out of order where we want to just go right to the fruit, right towards, look what I'm doing. And we haven't even understood the word. We haven't even soaked it in yet. We're living surface level with the scriptures. And now the fruit is hindered. Now our progress is hindered. And just like that game I was talking about, you're just constantly starting over, thinking that's all there is to it without ever progressing into what the Lord really has. And it comes from that desire and that love for the word of God. Because if you love something, you're going to pursue it. You're going to seek after it. You're going to let nothing stop you from drawing near to it and soaking it up. And sometimes when you're reading the scripture and it doesn't make sense and you don't get it, that's fine. Bring it back to the Lord. Keep searching it out. I think sometimes, too, even when we are reading the word, that we think that we could read and understand it on our own. That, oh, I'm just going to open the word today and just read it. And we think the first thoughts that come to mind about the scriptures, that must be right. But how often do you go to the Lord first and say, Lord, show me what this really means? And then when he does give you a thought towards scripture, do you bring it back to him and say, Lord, I'm just checking, is this right? Do we constantly have that relationship with the Lord where we could have that back and forth communication with him? Or do we think that we're wise enough and smart enough to just keep receiving it and, oh, I got it. I understand. I know all there is to know about this topic. And we're deceived thinking that this is as far as it goes. Are you stuck? Are you revolving in the same things over and over and over again, wondering why the Lord isn't speaking? And he might be asking you, do you love my word? Do you love me? Do you love his word? Let's go to, we'll go to Psalm 119. This chapter is full of appreciation for the Lord, for the word of God, for his ways, for his things. And I'm just going to read a section. Obviously, this verse or this chapter is very long, and sometimes it's difficult to pick and choose which ones you want to dive into. So I'm just going to read it, read a portion, and let the word of the Lord do its thing on its own. So I'm going to start in verse 97 of Psalm 119. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I will respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for the deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I have done judgment and justice. Lead me not to my oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercies, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word. We'll stop there. Just thinking about Psalm 119 and some of these verses, you see that love and that appreciation for the things of the Lord and for the word that is given. Do we have that same appreciation? Do we understand the position we're in? It was spoken earlier that we're a privileged people. And even back in Matthew 13, where it says that many have desired to understand the things that you do. Do you understand how special it is that you have the word of the Lord right at your fingertips? Do you seek it out? I'm always amazed. Sometimes I'll ask people, what are you reading in Scripture? And I expect to hear, I'm reading through Jeremiah right now, or this topic keeps playing over and over in my head. Or, you know what, I read this verse and I can't get past it. I'm just caught meditating on it all day. Just simple things. Like I would expect that to be spoken from a lot of Christians. But in reality, a lot of the times I hear is, you know, I'm not reading anywhere right now. Or I'm just waiting for the Lord to speak. Or I just don't know how to read it. And these are people who have been Christians for 10, 20, 30 years who aren't even reading it. And then we expect the Lord to answer our prayers. We expect the Lord to do wonderful things in our lives to show that we are truly set apart. Yet the Bible just collects dust throughout the week. Don't be deceived in answering that question, do you love the Word? Something to meditate and think upon this week is that exact question. Do you really love it? Maybe you like it. Maybe you enjoy it. Maybe it's something that you go to when you have a free moment. But do you really love it? Are you sacrificing your weekends to study it so that you have something to share on a Sunday morning? Are you willing to seek it out when you have a situation that just doesn't seem to fit and you don't have the answer to see clearly yet, that you want the Lord to speak so loudly into that situation that you're not going to stop reading the Scripture until you do find the way? Do you dive into it? Are you the good soil? Or are you just okay with being surface level? Do you truly love the things of the Lord? A couple of last verses in Ephesians that say that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Awesome things, right? That in an instant, in a word, he could speak his wisdom, his revelation, his understanding, his power, all those things into whatever you have going on. So if you haven't seen that recently, maybe it's because you haven't desired the word the way you're supposed to. He wants to do those things. He wants to pour out his spirit, his power through his word into your life. He has given you the scriptures to do so. Is your heart ready for that seed to be planted? Something else, too, about what we started back in Matthew 13, about that passage. If you see in all situations, the sower didn't change, that it was the same seed planted to all the different soils. And you could also see in there, only one out of four of the types of soil actually received the word. So sometimes you can get discouraged as a speaker or someone who's trying to get the word out to people, and you're wondering, what am I doing wrong? It's not on you. It's the Lord's word. It's his job to convict, to correct, to do those things. It's the same word. He's the same God. He doesn't change. Continue planting that seed. Continue preaching the word. But in order to do that, you have to first understand it for yourself. And then let him take care of the cares of this world. There's so much power in his word. And he has given you the tool to use it. Simple song we sung earlier. How do you know that Jesus loves you? The Bible tells me so. Have you taken that into your heart? Locked it away, saying, no enemy is going to come against me and take this word away. I got to go catch this word. Or are we just going through the motions, masquerading ourselves, thinking that, oh, if I serve enough, maybe they'll think I'm bearing fruit and I could just sit and go every Sunday, maybe every other Sunday. Maybe it's good enough that I went once. Or are you saying, no, I'm fighting every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and nothing's going to come into my mind first until I go before my Maker, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my God. It's his word that he's given. He is the word of life. Are you taking it seriously enough to say, I love the word, and I will stop at nothing until I get as much as I can out of it, until he calls me home? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you that you have given us your holy scriptures. Lord, I even think of the story where the man's son was sick, and he said, Lord, if just speak the word and it will be done. Lord, I pray that we would have faith like that, that we would hide it in our hearts, that we would get that word, so then you could use us in ways that we never thought possible, that fruit can now become 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, whatever you desire it to be. But first, Lord, we have to understand the scriptures. We have to love the scriptures. And I pray that if there's anyone wrestling with, is this really what I truly believe, and that you would show them that man does not live by the things of this world alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. So help us to hear it. Help us to receive it. Help us to stop at nothing, to continue in it. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ I pray.